Well, good morning to everyone. This is a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater and the moderator for the meeting this morning. It's going to be a little shorter this morning because we had some technical difficulties. So we have read the 12 steps, and we're going to read the 12 traditions now. I will give you the information just for the share IDs, etc., so please bear with us this morning. The share ID for yesterday, March the 2nd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,501. That's 16501. And the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that's March 3rd, 2021, that share ID is 16,505. That's 16505. Now we're just going to dive into the 12 traditions. And is Judy S. on the line? If you're not, please, who would like to volunteer to read the 12 traditions today? Please start with
my name
that.
Is Ann. My name is Ann. I'd be willing to read the...
Go ahead, please. Did you say Jan? Who would like to read the 12 traditions, please?
My name is Ann. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Ann.
One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, that he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those that they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, TV, and other forms of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you, Ann T., for reading the 12 traditions. Okay. All right. Let's see. Sorry, bear with me here. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions mean to us in the Big Book. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted, and that does include your mute button. Please don't use that. Just use star 1 to mute and unmute. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. And we're in, I went blank here for a second. We're on page 41, the first paragraph, beginning with, I'm winging it this morning, folks. Please bear with me. It begins with, I just know it's on page 41. Okay, so would our reader Deb E. be on the line this morning?
Sherry, Sherry, this is Kathleen. I went to my hotel.
Okay, thank you, Deb. I went to my hotel, and we're going to read through that one paragraph only. Thank you, Deb. Kathleen, do you want to take over from here?
You can keep going. I just wanted to help you out there. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
We are great at A Vision for You. We are very flexible people. Okay, so is Deb E. on the line this morning to read?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, yay, Deb. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi. I'm Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. I went to my hotel and leisurely dressed for dinner. As I crossed the threshold of the dining room, the thought came to mind that it would be nice to have a couple of cocktails with dinner. That was all, nothing more. I ordered a cocktail and my meal. Then I ordered another cocktail. After dinner, I decided to take a walk. When I returned to the hotel, it struck me a highball would be fine before going to bed. So I stepped into the bar and had one. I remember having several more that night and plenty next morning. I have a shadowy recollection of being in an airplane bound for New York and of finding a friendly taxi cab driver at the landing field instead of my wife. The driver escorted me about for several days. I know little of where I went or what I said and did. Then came the hospital with unbearable mental and physical suffering. So here again, we have this italicized text, and it was the same with the beginning of Jim's story. And it was, I was just looking at both paragraphs that are italicized, the one on 36 and this one, and it feels like the music in a movie before something bad's going to happen, like that, like something's coming that's not going to be good. And it is interesting, I noticed that in this paragraph, it says, the thought came to mind. And in the Jim paragraph, it says, the thought crossed my mind. And so we see here how it's, you know, it's just starting with them, how they're thinking, right? It's all about them thinking up a plan. And, you know, we always talk about how our own thinking didn't get us anywhere good. And so Fred and Jim have pretty different stories, but here I feel like it shows us how they basically, you know, the details may be different, but the story is the same in the sense that they're both alcoholic, they're both addicts. And seeing different stories kind of end the same way helps me identify in and just realize how all I need in common with my OA fellows to be able to support them and feel supported and work on this together is to know that we have this in common, that we have this disease in common, and that I shouldn't get stuck on somebody else's story being different than mine, because that's not what's important. What's important is that we're in this together and we can help each other. And also, you know, the end of the last paragraph talks about how Fred was having a perfect day, right? And so he goes from having a perfect day to being a blackout drunk and not knowing where he is and having, like, you know, been on planes and, you know, like, it shows how serious it was that he can't even remember that. And it made me think of, like, all the appearances I had of, like, I thought everything was perfect. I pretended everything was perfect. I tried to convince myself everything was perfect. But the real truth is the end of the paragraph where he's just, you know, where the unbearable mental and physical suffering comes out, because that's what's at the bottom of it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. All right. So, just again, we are reading more about alcoholism. We're on the page 41, the first paragraph. I went to my hotel in leisure and dressed for dinner, ending in mental and physical suffering. We're going to read that one paragraph only. So who would like to share on the meeting?
Sherry B.
I'm sorry. You three
Chris
came in
A.
at one time. Say that again, A.
Chris.
Sherry B.
Was that Chris A?
Yes.
All right, got to Chris. Did I hear Sherry?
Sherry D.
Sherry D as in David?
Yes.
All right, and I heard a
Susan.
I'm sorry, one moment, please. Who was the man, please?
Stephen G.
Stephen G. Okay, got you, Stephen.
Susan C.
Okay, was that Penny C?
No, Peg G.
Peg G. Okay, yes. Got you, Peg, and I'll take one more.
Susan C.
Susan C. All right. So here's my lineup. I have Chris A, Sherry D, Stephen G, Peg.
I'm so sorry, Sherry K. B. You've been unmuted. Could you please press star one to unmute? And Chris A,
so
yeah,
sorry,
please go ahead.
Thank you, Elaine. Okay, I have Chris A, Sherry D, Stephen G, Peg G, and Susan C. Can you hear me now?
Hi, this is Chris. Can I be heard?
Chris, can you hear me?
Hey, yes.
One
yes,
minute,
please.
Chris, I need
this
to announce
Chris
something
A.
here first. Thank you.
This is,
I just want to
okay.
remind anyone who has shared in the last couple of days, please step back so we can have other people share. And Chris A., you're up.
Yes.
Please go ahead.
Thank you.
Good morning.
All right. Can I be heard?
Yes.
All right. This is
Chris
A.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. When I see this chapter, one of the words that strikes me is leisurely, because there have been so many times when I have had some good food abstinence and I'm having a good day or a good week or a good month, and I just can relate to having this almost peace about me, but because of the familiarity and the lifelong habit of going to food for things that are actually good or feeling good, a feeling of happiness, I can see how easily this would have happened. He's leisurely getting ready for dinner, and then the thought that comes to mind, it would be nice, and then culminating in a walk. And I just know that there have been times where even when things are good or feel good, I can convince myself that I'm a normal eater, no matter how deeply I've been in the pit in times before. And I just think of when it says it was a shadowy recollection, and, you know, the times in my life where the fog of a food high has started as just a thought, and then I go to eat, and then I continue eating, and then literally I go from a step out to a day to then waking up every morning in a fog, and then all of a sudden it's been weeks and then months of what I would call back in the food. And it's just a familiarity. And yet I was so desiring to stop eating, and I'm so grateful right now to have just finished 8 weeks of working hard with the steps, and I'm realizing that I needed God's help. And this last few months, from probably September through December, I was in this place of shadowy recollections. I still can't believe I went as long as I did with this fog. And yet here I was, and I was having dizzy spells from sugar, and now knowing what I do about the steps, I'm so glad God showed up, because I know he's the one that put in my mind, call OA, or a friend that had been in OA. And working the steps are such a lifeline, because now as I daily think about steps 10, 11, and 12, I have this check in place where the wreckage of my past is gone, But every day, by serving others, talking with others, working the steps, there's a safety net. And God, I know, will help me stay out of that mindset of thinking myself into being a normal eater again. And I thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Chris A. Sherry D., you're up, followed by Stephen G. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
And please tell us where you're from.
Can I be heard?
You sure can. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Sherry. I am a compulsive eater. And I, you know, just reading this and, you know, picking up from yesterday, I knew where this was going, you know, even though I didn't read ahead, but it was the end to the perfect day. This very thing just happened to me, and I have been, abstinent for about a year and a half, and I work my program on a daily basis, and it literally happened so quick that, I exchanged a food on my food plan so quickly without even a thought. But I do have to say, something came into my head and said, that was compulsive. Even though I didn't overeat, my mind started to shift already. And knowing that, you know, it's an allergy of the body and obsession of the mind, I, by the grace of my higher power, was able to stop and reach out and call somebody and get on a meeting. And I have to remind myself that every day, I'm not a normal person when it comes to food. I am a compulsive eater. I am in recovery. I work the steps, and I just know that it comes that quickly. And I think when I, you know, realize again that on a daily basis, I am never going to be able to do that. I'm never going to just be able to have the thought that, oh, that, you know, piece of whatever, it would be so nice to have, because the next thing I know, it will be in my mouth if I don't continuously work my program. And I just want to say I'm always so grateful for all the shares on here and the reminder of just going through this text, you know, that that we are all in this together. This is a WE program, and I can't do this without you. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Sherry D., for your share. Stephen G., you're up, followed by Peg G. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Sherry.
What happened to Susan?
Susan is after Peg G.
Thank you. Please
go ahead. Thank you, Stephen. Go ahead. Sorry for the interruption. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, good morning, Sherry. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Thanks for your service today under challenging conditions. One of the things I've been noticing more and more in the big book is how Bill Wilson will put statements in a paragraph that are completely contrasting together, that shouldn't be occurring side by side. And but when we see them, it's only we as addicts that can really fully appreciate them. So in this paragraph, so the first sentence from the last paragraph, which says, it was the end of a perfect day, not a cloud on the horizon. I went to my hotel and leisurely dressed for dinner. And then forget everything that happens in the rest of the paragraph, except for the last sentence. Then came the hospital with unbearable mental and physical suffering. If we just looked at those two statements, we'd wonder what happened in the middle. What terrible calamity came upon this man? Who did this to him? And then when we read it, we see it's actually him. It's his own thinking that led to this. And this from a man who a couple of paragraphs before says he has every right to be self-confident, and it's only a matter of exercising his willpower and keeping on guard. And so now he's finally seeing that he has a malady that is permanent, it's progressive, and it's fatal. And the book tells us that we need to diagnose ourselves. And so the AA members who came to see him told him about this disease, the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind. He didn't believe it. He has to see it himself. And finally, he's seeing it himself. And this is what I had to do as well. And then as Bill Wilson says in Bill's story, he finds that he's now surrounded in all directions by quicksand. He's now come to the jumping off point. Nobody can help him, and he's doomed. And I needed to see that. And then I was willing to listen to the solution. Whatever that would be, I will do anything. And that's what I did, and I got recovered. Thanks very much, Sherry.
Thank you, Stephen G. Peg G., you're up, followed by Susan C. Good morning, Peg. Peg G., star one to unmute, please. Can I be heard? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Peg, is that you?
Oh, yes, it is me.
All right, go ahead, please.
Okay,
good morning,
thanks
Peg.
So much. Good morning. The last line of that reading is what really caught my attention, and it's the idea of unbearable mental and physical suffering. With great gratitude, I feel for some time now I've been relieved of the physical suffering, but the mental suffering continues for me, and my mind can just get on a groove and keep going round and round and round about relationships with family members. And I realize that thanks to the program, thanks to the steps, thanks to everyone being on this call and hearing the stories, I don't have to stay in that mental obsession. You know, I can always turn to God and say, bring my attention to you, go on a call, go to a meeting, distract myself and surrender to God, because I don't want the mental obsession, and I know how desperately I'm in need of help. So thank you very much.
And thank you, Peg G. And before we hear from Susan C., we are in Chapter 1, More About Alcoholism, on page 41, the first paragraph, I Went to My Hotel. After Susan shares, I'll take some more names. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. Hi. Thanks for your service. And this is great because it just reminds me how there's like that blank mental thing, either forgetting or not even remember, you know, completely not remembering. And that's why, you know, I almost didn't come on the meeting this morning. I thought, you know what, I need to put this into my brain every day, daily, that really that I have the compulsion, I have the addiction. And I just know for myself, you know, it just will come up at any time, like a crazy thought will come up at any time. And it could be also when things are going quite well and feeling peaceful, you know, and all of a sudden it comes up and it's like, I follow, you know, I would follow that, you know, like a robot, almost like a computer, without really fully feeling or understanding what I was doing. And here, you know, by being in the program and listening daily and talking to other people, it really breaks through that denial. And, you know, it can't be something that I just like pick up and then forget. I mean, it's like brushing your teeth. You don't just do it one day out of the week. But yeah, you know, I need to do it every day. So I need this and to hold on to it for dear life. So thanks, everybody, for being there.
And thank you, Susan C. Okay, we have time. We've got about 10 more minutes, maybe 13. So I'll take some more names. Who would like to share that hasn't shared in the last 3 days?
Jennifer C.
I heard somebody C.
Jennifer C.
Jennifer. Leah. Okay, got you, Jennifer. Who else?
Kelly H.
Leah. Kelly H.
Lorna D.
Okay, did I hear a Lori C?
Lauren H.
Lori H. And I heard Leah S.
Thank you.
I'll take one more just in case if we can.
Roberta T.
Rona D.
Roberta T. All right, I think that's going to be enough for right now. If we have time, we'll do more. Let's see. All right, so Jennifer C., you're up, and please let us know where you're from, Jennifer. Jennifer C., star one to unmute, please. Jennifer? Okay.
Hi, I'm unmuted. Thank you. Here I am.
Is that Jennifer C.?
Yeah, this is Jennifer
C. Go ahead, please. Thank you.
I'm Jennifer C. I'm a compulsive overeater in Colorado. This passage is fabulous because it reminds me of the monster I become when I'm not recovered. It says, how inconsiderate Fred was just mirrors how inconsiderate I was at this time. He finds a friendly cab driver. I love that. You know, the taxi driver is friendly because he's going to get paid a lot because this guy is really drunk, you know, and Fred is just willing to exploit this guy, and this guy is willing to exploit him. I mean, what kind of relationship is that? That's an addictive relationship. That's the relationships that I was in before I got recovered. All of the boyfriends I had who didn't love me exactly the way I wanted them to, even, you know, my husband, you know, oh, he's not doing anything the way I want him to, as if he exists only to do what I want. And then even the inconsideration of, you know, Fred's poor wife. Like, what was she thinking? This guy disappears. I mean, what kind of hell did he put her through during this time, you know? Where is he? Was she worrying about him? What, did he have children? Were they worried? All of these things that I do, you know, or we as addicts do when we're in the drink or when we're in the food, when we're drunk, you know, we'll sell out anybody, including ourselves and the people we love for that next compulsive bite. And it's just such a great view into the relationships that get in and the monster, like I said, the monster that I become when I'm not in recovery. So thank you so much for this morning, and I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. Kelly H., you're up, followed by Lori H. Good morning, Kelly.
Hi, this is Kelly H. I am a compulsive overeater from North Carolina, and thank you for your service on this morning. I am really struck by this paragraph because, you know, he was coming from a place of being dry, sober, and just in the normal course of life, he was leisurely dressed for dinner. He was comfortable. So he was in the moment sober and he was comfortable. But there's sort of this like outer body experience that happens next. You know, he just sort of has this out-of-body experience in italics. I mean, I feel like the italics should say, here's where the scary theme music comes in, like a horror film. It's about to happen for him. And that very short sentence, that was all, right there in the first third of that paragraph. Nothing more. It's almost like Edgar Allan Poe, evermore, evermore, but it's nothing more. And it feels gothic. It feels like this is happening. And right in the middle of his own story, this thing is happening. And it's not a thing, it's within him. It's a It's an insanity. It's an obsession of the mind. And there's an allergy, even though the allergy hasn't been happening leading up to this, it's still there. And it just shows me when I look at this paragraph that, you know, sobriety or abstinence, in my case as an overeater, can lead to a very nice day, could lead me to go about my business, could lead me to go to a hotel on a business trip or on a vacation. So a good period of abstinence could lead to those fine things where I could be leisurely dressed and quite comfortable in my everyday life. But a good day in a non-compulsive overeater can continue being a good day. I have an identity as a victor, as somebody who's recovered, but that does not mean that I am still not plagued. I absolutely must maintain abstinence if I am going to keep from sliding into the food. And I know I absolutely will if I ignore my spiritual journey. And because I have a history of that. And I know that abstinence is the only thing with the power of God. Power comes from God, not from the good days. And so I can never, ever have a thought saying, well, this is a fine day. That is not going to empower me to stay abstinent. So only God can do that. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Kelly H. Lori H., you're up, followed by Leah S. Good morning, Lori.
Hi, this is Lauren H. from Los Angeles, recovered compulsive overeater. Good morning, everybody. And thank you to all those that did service this morning. Impromptu service, that was really beautiful. It reminds me of there's so much grace and imperfection, and it just really was inspiring this morning to me. So thank you to all those that stepped up. Gosh, Fred's like, nothing's wrong. You know, I look at this, and Jim, I can see he had a resentment. So this underlying resentment, and then he picked up. But Fred, everything's going great. And he picked up, and like everyone has referred to, this is really like a horror. This is dooming to me. I think, oh wow, like if I'm a compulsive overeater, if I'm an addict, which I am, I can pick up if I'm happy. I can pick up if I'm sad. I will pick up. My only defense is, you know, and hopefully, you know, this is God, higher power. But before I have higher power, I don't have a defense, right? Because I will pick up if I'm a compulsive overeater. Yeah, this mental blank spot is serious for me. And I'm so grateful for this program and coming to these meetings and working with fellows to remind me every day that I forget. I have this mental blank spot. I'm an addict and I have this forgetter. I have a forgetter that I forget that I forget. Yeah, so that's all I've got to share this morning. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lauren H. Leah S., you're up, followed by Roberta. Leah, good morning.
Thank you so much for taking my call. My name is Leah S., and I'm a compulsive overeater from Brooklyn, New York. This paragraph is actually a warning paragraph. It is an extreme red siren. Do these steps. Do these steps consistently. Do step 10, 11, and 12 if you've gotten up to 12. Because we all have blind spots. We never know. I never know when I'm going to be confronted with a situation that has haunted me in the past, bringing consciousness, my subconsciousness, to the awareness of what I am and who I am today. And you can get to the point where you don't want those donuts. And you can get to the point where you are happy without those foods that used to kill you. And in order to get that, I talk about myself, honestly, I do. I need to continue practicing 10 and 12 all the time. And with that, I pass.
you, Leia S. Roberta T., you're up, and we might have time for one more. Good morning, Roberta.
This is Roberta T. from Chicago, Illinois. This was me yesterday, this paragraph. I had a good day yesterday. I got up and had a healthy breakfast and a healthy lunch. I even went out on the snowy trail and went for a nice walk. But I had plans in the evening to go to a movie. And I know, I realize now that going to movies is a behavior of mine that, you know, makes my mind think about what I'm going to eat at the movie theater. Because, you know, for years I would go to a movie theater. For years I get the biggest bucket of popcorn and Raisinets. And so I remember I was driving and bam, this thought came in. Hey, you're going to want Raisinets and popcorn at the movie theater, you know. And I'm like, no, you know, back and forth in my head. No, you know, I'm not going to do that. But then the movie won't be as good without the food. And I could see how my mind was trying to rationalize this. And so I thought, well, you know, I'll bring a healthy snack and I'll eat that instead of the popcorn or whatever. Well, you know, as it got closer to the time, then that voice came louder and louder, you know, popcorn, Raisinets, popcorn, Raisinets. And before, you know, just like this, before, you know, I'm running to Walgreens and getting a bag of Raisinets and eating the big bag of popcorn at the movie theater. And then on the way home, you know, that wasn't enough. Then I had to stop at Target and get even more. And so then I end up staying up till like 2 in the morning eating Raisinets, popcorn, and Diet Coke, which is another one of my trigger foods. And then, you know, I wake up late in the morning. It's like a Diet Coke, you know, chocolate hangover, you know, and it's just goes on and on. So I have a hard time with my behaviors, with the things that trigger me. And I guess that's all I have. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Roberta T. And we do have time for one more share. Who would like to share this morning on this paragraph?
Hi, this is
Dana
Carol
G.
I heard somebody before, Dana G.
Carol.
Tina G.
Carol, I'm sorry. That was Carol?
Yes.
Carol, go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you. This paragraph reminds me or makes me think about that it kind of sells of impulsivity with celebration to some degree and with justification. That was it, nothing more. And so many things that I do are kind of sprung out of subconscious stuff. And I'm just thinking that this person, when they crossed the dining room, they probably smelled certain things, heard certain things, and that can kind of trigger stuff. But I want to talk about the celebration. You know, after we do, at least for me, after I have something good, deep down I really want to celebrate. And I know the last time I did what this writer did was at a Christmas celebration several years ago, where I was going to just stick to my action plan and eat the healthy foods. And then all of a sudden, the next thing I know, I'm in the desserts. Because after all, this restaurant had the very best of desserts. And on the way home, I stopped at the Giant and the Safeway to kind of finish off my evening. And I was just like the writer. The mental and physical torture were unbearable. So I do need to stay in steps 10, 11, and 12 daily to keep from repeating this experiment. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. And we do have time for one more. We have about 2 minutes. Who would like to share, please? Okay.
Tina G.
Go ahead, Tina G. Go ahead. We've got about a minute. Go ahead, Tina.
Hi, I'm Tina, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I just wanted to say that I've fallen into that recently, and the thing that hit me most is that I thought that just a little bit of this and just a little bit of that wouldn't hurt me, you know. I've been following a food plan of my own, And that's the thing, my own. And when I started to slip, I mean, I have COVID now. And so it was like just a little bit of this won't hurt me. And now I'm in a point where it's like, okay, Tina, you know what to do. You know what? The grazing came in. You know, I'm here by myself, and it's like grazing came in. So it's like, okay, you have to stop that. So I've been praying. I started reading the literature, and I've been calling people. And that helps a lot, the calling people and the sharing exactly where I'm at and not trying to hide it or trying to minimize it or rationalize it. So I just want to say that if anybody's in those blind spots like I was just yesterday, that when I start talking about it, it helps a lot. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Tina G. And I'm so sorry we've had to be short this morning. We've had some technical difficulties, but we got it going, and I'm so grateful we all did. And I want to thank everyone for on Team Wednesday for helping out this morning. And is Dion R. on the line to read page 164?
Yay!
All right. Yay. Sounds like DMR. Could you please start mute? We're hearing some background noise. Okay, so I don't think DMR is on. Oh, good.
Dion.
Here you are, Dion. Yay! Could you please read page 164 for us?
Yes, I sure can.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I surely will.
Thank you, Dion.
Okay. Hi, good morning, everyone. So grateful that we trudge through no matter what. Okay. I can't read page 164. As soon as I pull it up, it's almost here, guys. Our book. Okay, here I go. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and the great events will come to you and to others. Countless others. I'm sorry. I don't have my glasses on. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. God bless.